and a rapping and a rolling.
We're good. We're gonna nail this. We're gonna nail this.
You are in the lounge.
You are in the Whiskey Rock Lounge. I feel like we should have some soothing voice talking, like, you are in the Whiskey, or we could go country and be like, you're in the Whiskey Rock Lounge.
Oh, I tried it. It didn't work for me, Denise. Somehow the Long Island comes through.
Yeah, that's never, that's not gonna stop. That is what it is.
I have Dolly with me today.
There's Dolly with a dented boob. Excellent. Dented boob Dolly. That's her name.
She shows up at the studio. She's here before me waiting.
Yeah, I like it. Dented boob Dolly.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So right. Today is definitely a necessary whiskey day.
Necessary day. All right. All right. That's not a good sign, but okay.
A lot of traffic.
Oh.
A lot of going on. There's so much construction right now on the roads, on Federal Highway. And I made the mistake coming home tonight, coming Federal Highway. I forgot. And I got trapped in, I couldn't get out of the construction. So.
That's the worst. I know. My mother, when I visit my mother, she's in Coral Springs, and Wiles Road has been under construction for, I'm going to just say, 4 years. What an inconvenience. Oh, you poor thing. Between construction on the road, construction on your building.
Yes, thank God. They will not be having to tear into my apartment due to reconcreting. So.
All right, let's do a little cheers to that, because my God, look how nice yours looks. Yours always look so nice.
This is a square glass I'm using today, and it's a Jack Daniel's. I don't know if you can read that, but it's a
It's etched on your glass. I'm such a loser. I'm drinking out of an absolute glass that I nicked from the pub where I used to work.
That's a hearty glass, though. That's for both celebrating and stressful.
You're drinking like straight up Jack or Gentleman Jack, or what do you?
No, actually, it's not Jack. You want me to tell you about my whiskey first?
Yeah, what do you have? Because I'll tell you about mine. We need it.
I'm trying Four Roses Bourbon. I have a bottle that was my grandfather's that is not open.
Look at that with the pretty rose on it. It is Four Roses whiskey.
My mom had some whiskeys that were my grandfather's, because he used to like whiskey, and I liked this bottle, not knowing they still made this bourbon.
Sorry.
And Judy is really into bourbons, which we have to have her on the show when she gets back in town, because she drinks some high-end stuff, like $100 a bottle.
I swear, I feel so lowbrow. I'm drinking out of the wrong kind of glass. I'm drinking basically a whiskey liqueur. I've got the Jack Daniel's apple today because
nice.
Yeah, it felt like fall, you know, apple-y, like a crisp apple, feels like autumnal, if you will. So I just thought, okay, and I didn't even put ice in because I didn't want it to dilute, since it is kind of like, is it real whiskey? It's from the makers of Jack Daniel's. It says it's a finely crafted apple liqueur. So I feel like a lightweight, like a lowbrow lightweight today.
You know, it's so appropriately fall of you to have that. I'm really enjoying that you're doing that. You're having that. This says it's American light whiskey. It actually says light whiskey. So I'm the lightweight today.
The color of it. Your color is so rich and amber in your glass, but yet it's a little lighter in the bottle.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just didn't want to crack it open because it was my grandfather's, but I have two bourbons bottles that were his that I got from my mom. She had it in her house in her bar, back from the day. So I love any of the vintage, nostalgic.
Yeah.
from my family that I would find along the way, I have. So do you remember, I'm sure growing up, they still make it Galliano?
Yes.
Had a bottle of that on the bar with the decanter that looked like the Italian soldier.
Yes.
That next week I'll show that off. But anyway,
funny.
Well, so we have that, and I have it from back in the day. Like it was on my mom's bar in the basement with the paneling, with the green carpet, the indoor. Yes. Everyone had them.
I think and, we went through all the, I think as teenagers, we went through, my parents used to store a couple of bottles like down in the basement, and they were always like really dark, dark bottles, you know? So we right. just poured it into other bottles, filled it up with water, put it on the shelf, and just, you know, figured we would deal with it when we got caught. But I don't think they ever were going to go into them anyways, because there was some crappy liquor in there. But I was going to say, like, I remember, and I don't mean any disrespect to the people of Seagram's, but I was drinking like 7 and 7s, Seagram's and 7-Up, and that is some crappy whiskey. But that was the
scotch, or is that just a whiskey? It's a straight whiskey, Seagram 7?
Seagram 7, I think was whiskey. Because back then I didn't even care. It was just, oh my God, I made it into a bar and I have to think of a drink, you know? Like when someone would say, well, what do you want? I was just like, you just panic and said 7-7. So, yeah.
But I have a picture of my grandfather sitting at the bar in the basement with the paneling, the brown paneling.
Brown paneling.
The bar with the same decanter that I still have. So I love when I find stuff like that in my mom's house that I can record.
So, is your mom in the same house that you guys kind of grew up in?
No, because she lives down here. We all moved down.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Everything, including the furniture that was covered with plastic, the plastic slip covers.
Yes.
Too. It was still on there when we moved in the 80s, but I'll bring that on next week because that's really cool. I don't think I pointed that out to you girls when you came to see my place when I first moved in, but
maybe we were so into your whiskeys. We were like, you just lined up like the best with the different.
Remember that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome. You didn't even have your glasses in at the time. We drank out of red cups.
Right. Yeah. I didn't have anything yet. I don't even know if I was totally living.
No, you weren't. You didn't even. So, yeah, here's to bad traffic. No, you not getting construction.
Yes, it's a decompressor and a celebration drink today because, yeah, I was freaking out when I heard the poor guy down the hallway. They tore up the floor in his kitchen and his bedroom. And all I could think of was, I just went through that, not a year, just less than 2 years ago, complete, you know, renovation. And I'm like, do this to me. So they're not doing it to anyone else in the building. I think everyone really.
Oh, you so lucked out then. Yeah, that's the last thing anybody wants. Although right now I am so into it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the midst of it, let's put it that way. But right now I'm so into HGTV shows and these big renovation projects that I have not watched hardly anything else. Well, it's a lie. I mean, we have like a pretty stacked, you know, when you go through your DVR and you see what you got recorded, we're stacked. But I am so into like Fixer Upper and all that kind of stuff. And yet you can't do those kinds of things over here. Like you have to have special permission from the council and permitting and like they have to approve any little thing that you're going to do. So it's just a dream at this point, you know, like.
Wow.
Unless we bought like a new house and then we were going to do, you know, normal renovations or whatever, but like to put an addition on or to do something, you know, and we don't really have the space for it. It's just a tiny little house. That's all they make here, little tiny houses. Unless you have like a, you know, a shit ton of money and you can buy like a big manor. somewhere, but for the most part, we just watch these renovation shows and drool about what could be one day. Because, I mean, the patience you have to have, and you really, I don't see it happening like over here the way it does in the States. Like when we watch Good Bones, Fixer Upper, Hidden Potential, Property Brothers, My Dream House, like all those things. And people just move out for like 6-7 weeks, you know, for their renovations. I mean, how realistic is that? You can't really, you gotta live with it while it's going on. So, and I do think there's a lot more like cowboy builders over here. Like that seemed, I mean, they actually had a television show about cowboy builders that literally scam you out of money. You know, you give them a deposit and then they just take off with it, or they start doing the work and then they go out of business.
Yeah.
You take your money back. Like, so that seems to be a big issue. Like you really have to research and go with like a really decent company. Like you really, you know, you can't really look to do it on the cheap. Like when Hazel put her, when I first moved here, she was getting a loft put in her house, and it took a lot of months, but you know, they were there. They, you know, they did the work. It wasn't, and thank God it was like a friend of a friend's brother, you know, so there was always a trail to get back to him, to call up and say, hey, your tile guy's not here. Like, what's the deal? You know, that kind of thing. And then he would get on it and make sure the guy showed up. But it's a lot of like herding cats, you know, like you're the one having to do the project management, and there should be somebody else taking care of it. And you're like, you're the one that's, you know, bitching that the tile guy's not there, or that they brought the wrong color grout, or that, you know. So I don't know if I have the patience to endure it, but I do love those shows, man.
You a lot. I mean, thank God my sister Marianne watches that Phil's channel. So she knew about the latest and greatest of what was out there. I had no idea. But, you know, you do go through the frustration with a contractor. Thank God, you know, as much as I complained about what was happening with him along the way, he wanted more money for things, you know, and they start out with a price and then it always ends up being more. But thankfully he wasn't one of these people that just took off with the money, because I heard stories while my apartment was being done. People, what if they don't come back, you know? And he did come back, thankfully, you know, day and day. But it was funny because Judy, we're going to get her on the show one day soon, you know, maybe month. We talked about it actually, because we're going to definitely talk bourbon with her. But she like 5 minutes from me, just over the bridge. So she was coming over when the construction was going on, and just kind of like, you know, because I'd be here sometimes hanging out, just overseeing things. Like you said, you have to kind of be the project coordinator.
Yeah, the watchman. Yeah.
Time he started to like, you know, saying this is going to cost so much more money than we actually talked about. Yeah. She'd out to the balcony, out to the patio, and go, cue the ship, cue the boat, sailboat. And I'm like, oh, how nice. Look at the sailboat. And then like 2 seconds later, what do you mean you're charging me $400 more for the candles on the cab?
It's so amazing. Like, you don't realize that, like, when you undertake that kind of project, the things, the details, the decisions, day in and day out, how many, it's just, yeah, it's, I can see where that, I'm just not, like, Gemma would be great. My wife would handle that in a heartbeat. Like, she is, project management is in her core, you know? She's a problem solver, she's organized, she loved the challenge. So when we talk about these things, I always say, like, you would have to be in charge of this. Like, I couldn't even handle it. Like, a lot of the time when Hazel's loft was being built, Hazel and Gemma had work that was based in Birmingham, where Lucy Burton, that we had on last week, lives. And that's like a 2.5-hour ride. So they would go up, and sometimes they'd be up there for the whole week. And I'd be the one dealing with these guys, because I was home. I was in charge of the cats. I was in, you know, herding the cats and wrangling them and closing them in the living room because the guys were coming in and out. And it was, you know, like, I think I knew then and there that, like, patience isn't my strong suit.
Yeah, I was what's the word I'm looking for, fortunate in the sense that I didn't have to live with the construction. I had my other house I was still living in. Yeah. So I was coming and checking, which was really a blessing because living with it is just, you know, and the last thing I wanted them to put in, me being so OCD, were the toilets. I told the contractor, do not put these toilets in until the very last, like when the guy leaves, there's nothing else left to be done.
Yes, that was, I remember that being a huge issue that one of the builders, now remember, there's already two floors at Hazel. They were literally building the third to put this loft, right? So they would have to go onto the middle floor. That's where the functioning bathroom was. But that was also the bathroom that like we were using as a household. We had a little half bath like downstairs. But at the time I was just starting writing. Remember you were asking me how long did it take you to write your book? I was starting then, like that was the second year or whatever that I was here, or the first like year and a half that I was here. So I'd be at the kitchen table and I would have herded the cats into the living room, closed the doors and working away. And like all of a sudden, this horrific smell came wafting down the stairs. And I'm like, oh my God, someone took a dump. Like a worker took a dump. This is hideous. I had windows open. I mean, it was insane. It was insane. And yet I was there. I was trying to manage everything on my own and not be a hothead. But the worst part was like, they would come down and use the kettle and make cups of tea. And then they would leave the cups three floors up and bring them down like 2 days later, all like yucky and stained and everything. And I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. And like, what can you say? Like, get out of my kitchen.
You know, you're not supposed to be in here. Bathroom.
If it wasn't a friend of a friend, you know, that was doing it, I would have been incredibly rude. I mean, I was always biting my tongue. Like I just knew that I couldn't really offend these guys the way I wanted to. If it would got back to the owner, like it would have, then it would have got back to Hazel. Like, oh my God, whoever's project managing is a bitch. So I was trying to be cool about it.
However they claim to flip houses and stuff, it's not really realistic, like you said. It does not happen.
Exactly. And then it's like, everybody is in there at once and you're like, that never happened.
No, never happened.
So it is, it's good to know that that's the same everywhere. Like I really thought for a long time that it just happened over here, but it's good to know that that happens everywhere.
All of it is true. And I was actually, you know, I was bitching because I was thinking at Christmas time, they're going to have this big scaffold thing in front of my window. So hopefully it'll be done before Christmas so I can have my Grinch and my tree in the window without too much obstacle in front of it. But
it's funny, we, you know, because of the cats, we don't get to decorate too much because they'll destroy a tree. Plus, I have no space. We have no space to put a tree. If we put a tree in that corner, it blocks the TV. If we put a tree in that corner, it'll end up blocking the light. There's really no place. And so we don't really go all out on decorating. And the same thing for Halloween, because it's not a big deal over here, Halloween. That's the first thing.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, it's really like low key kind of thing. It's kind of each neighborhood does their own little thing and that's it, if anything. But because we're in a gated, you know, place, we don't even get like trick or treaters. So we don't decorate. But that was the thing about like living in Florida. And even in my little condo, when I did live in Florida, I didn't really decorate too much because I spent so much time at my mother's and they got the big house in Coral Springs and they do the decorating for every single thing. She just sent me pictures of her fall decorations. Oh. You know, her pumpkins, her gourds, all that.
Yeah, I don't do fall anymore. I don't know why. I used to do big Halloween parties. That was my thing years ago. I think it's because the Hallmark countdown till Christmas starts like a week or something. So it pushes right into Christmas, although I do still enjoy Halloween, you know.
I think right now we have four channels that are dedicated just to Christmas Christmas movie. So we have four dedicated channels just for Christmas. And that's not including the Hallmark channel and the Sony channel. This is just Christmas movies 24. There's four of them, four channels.
So it's like that there too.
Yeah. I don't really watch them. It's funny. Like every year they play the same stuff I've noticed. Like they play Love Actually.
Obviously. Oh, I saw movies.
And Bridget Jones. No, they play all the Bridget Jones movies, and then they play a really good series that it's no longer going on. But you guys have James Corden now. But before he was James Corden in America, he was James Corden over here. And he and his writing partner, Ruth Jones, wrote a great sitcom. And it was about a guy from London and a girl from Wales, Barry Island in Wales, which is really far apart and very different. And they met through a dating app or whatever, and they met and they fell in love, and this is their story. But James Corden and Ruth Jones played the supporting characters who were just as important. Like it turned out, like it just unfolded that you wanted to see what happened with them too. But it was really, really good. And they always had amazing Christmas specials. And they won like a whole bunch of BAFTAs and everything. And it was really, really a cute story. So they always play either all of the Gavin and Stacey's or all just the Christmas specials that were, you know, kind of standalone. They were really, really well done. And in fact, now that it's been gone for years, I think like 10 years, and they just had last Christmas, the continuation. They had like a Christmas episode that was kind of the continuation of like where everybody was 10 years later. And it was so good. And it ended on a massive cliffhanger. So I don't know if they're going to do another one because of the pandemic, but it was so heartwarming to have them back after all those years. And he, you know, it was great to see James Corden come back to his roots and back home and do this again with the same cast. Everybody was back in it. It was amazing. So Christmas, they seem to go all out over here. Not Halloween, not too much about the whole fall thing, because, you know, they have seasons here. It's not a big deal to them. Yeah.
Well, I unapologetically want to live in a Hallmark movie one day in one of those little towns. And even though they are so
predictable,
terribly predictable, and you know how it's going to end and what the story is going to be, I still watch them. There's still
many Hallmark addicts. There's so many Hallmark. There's a whole secret society of you guys, like a whole secret society of you guys that watch it. And it's so funny to be on Twitter and hear all the men complaining about their wives watching Christmas movies. Like, oh my God, they're starting already. Indeed.
My sister got me and the shirt, like the night shirt, to watch my Hallmark movies. So I'm set. I think they're starting next week. And even though I've seen some of them over and over, I still have them recorded just in case they don't show some of the older ones, because they make new ones every year, the old ones. I know the way, and the same way anyway. So, you know, but it's.
I would find it hard though to be, I call them Hallmark heads. So I would find it hard to be a Hallmark head, because then all my other programs that are recorded, when do I get to watch those?
Right.
So faithful about, like, you know, like I said, we've been binging. We've got a couple of that. We binge on the HGTV stuff, but on Netflix we found, this is fun. I was just telling you about it. It's called Away.
Yeah, you were telling me after watching that.
It's only one season so far, but it's with Hilary Swank and Josh. Oh, I can't think of his name, but he was in The Good Wife. Mm-hmm. And it's really well done. It's about, she is an astronaut and she's on a 3-year mission to go to Mars with her team. And her team consists of like an Indian guy that's like a renowned like surgeon and astronaut, and a Chinese woman who's like all about the data, and a Russian guy who's logged more hours in space than anybody. So he's a little bit older. And it's just extremely well done. And I was really, I didn't want to start it because I just telling Hazel and Jenna this, I was nervous about starting it because Hillary Swank makes me nervous ever since Boys Don't Cry and the boxing movie that she was in. They're such heavy and intense roles that I just didn't know if I was prepared, because this looked like it was going to be another one. And there were some super intense moments in it, but it was really well done because it also, not only does it follow their journey, but it also follows what's happening back home. And the other binge worthy show that we found on Netflix was called Criminal. And that was,
heard about that one.
Did you? We watched the UK one, which was really good. And it was so weird because, like, I didn't recognize anybody that was in it. I really didn't, except for the last episode. Raj from Big Bang.
Oh.
He's a criminal, and he's so awful and smarmy and gross and mean, and it's hideous. But the whole concept is, it's about the interrogators and how they break, you know, how they get a confession or decide, you know, how they're going to approach it and all that.
Yeah.
It was so good, like all three seasons of that. And there was only like three episodes in a season. Like, it was a very condensed thing. And then it was so good that we ended up watching the German one and the French one, the Spanish one, because they had subtitles, you know, and they had dubbed in English. So, but it was the same concept where you're very focused on the people that are doing the interrogation, that team. There's always a little arc that's going on, but each criminal is different. So it was definitely worth binging. It was really, really good.
Well, for This Is Us fans, I just saw last night, it's coming back, I think the 27th of October.
I didn't even know that it was still on, because we got the first three seasons, didn't get picked up over here. So it just dropped off. So I was like, did it get renewed? Did it not get renewed?
Yeah, it I saw Chrissy Metz in Orlando. She did a book signing. We bought her book, and if you bought the book, then you got to go to the book signing. And you know, it was I couldn't believe how many people were in this bookstore. It was like a big Barnes and Noble. And we actually had lunch at, this was a couple of years ago. We had lunch at a little place that I forget the name of it. It was really cute, like a throwback retro diner type of thing. But it's right next to Pulse, the
nightclub. Yeah.
So we had lunch, and then we went to see meet her. And so, you know, you got like 3 seconds to talk to her. It was as long as it took for her to sign the book. But she spoke for probably about a half an hour. And they had her like on this balcony thing, and she was sitting down with her best friend who has been with her through the whole journey of show business, she has quite a story itself. But to see how many people showed up for the book signing was just amazing. So she comes from Northern Florida, I think, if I heard right, like from the Florabama line up in that area.
Okay.
And her family was there. You know, she's very close with her nieces and her immediate family, and they were all sitting there like with her in the balcony. But she went to Hollywood. You know, she went to LA because she wanted to be in show business. But everyone was saying, you know, you're so heavy set. You know, there's no role for you. And so she started out working for an agent, being like her assistant, making appointments for other people to go on interviews, so auditions. So she said every time she sent a girl out on an audition, she felt like it was sending out another girl going to go out on a date for you, like with the date, like sending someone else out on your blind date.
Right.
She stuck with it though, you know, and then they needed someone of her stature for American Horror Story. So she was on that first. She was actually in the carnival one with that lady in that season. So I think that was the one with Kathy Bates. And then when this role came up, she still had competition in the role. You know, she explained it. It's so nerve-wracking to go through the process of the auditions, because it came down to her and another girl, and they're both like sitting in the room at the same time waiting to call to do the final reading. And you know, you want to be nice to the other person, you know, she said, because you're both in the same boat.
Yeah.
But you want to be the one that gets the role. So it was just, it was really very gracious and very lovely to listen to her speak. And she's so appreciative the opportunity that she got in the business of this role of Kate, and which I think she's amazing in. And I'm just happy that it's coming back. I think this is maybe the last season, but I read that they were writing in the COVID, the whole COVID experience. So
People are starting to do, they have to. I mean, how do you make anything relatable anymore? Like, I'm watching TV and I'm watching things and I see people in gatherings and they're touching and they're kissing. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it freaked you out a little bit because you just haven't seen it in a year, you know?
Did you watch the show A Million Little Things? Did you get that there?
No.
It's a series. I don't know if they're bringing it back because of COVID, because the last episode of the season, of the first season, was right when COVID started, right when they started closing, when quarantine started. So I taped all of those because I want, listen to me, taped. I recorded all of those.
We're so old school.
I was never home for some reason. It was on a Thursday night. I was rehearsing a lot. I think Mary Beth had an open mic that night. I used to go and play with her. So because the last episode was when the quarantine started, underneath was the news ticker. And it starts, and I couldn't sleep that night, so it's late at night. And here comes the news ticker saying schools are going to be closed. So many people died in Miami. And I'm like, oh my God, they're closing the schools again. You know, like, I forgot it was recorded. And I thought it was starting all over again. I'm like, what do you mean they're closing the school? But what was amazing to me was it said 689 people, you know, died so far in Miami. That's when that was just, the numbers were so low.
So low, and yet they were still,
wow.
Yeah, still mind-boggling. I worry, like, are we getting desensitized to the numbers? Because they're crazy right now. We're having, like, massive outbreaks up north. Thankfully, like, not down here, because we're south of London. But up north, like, where Liverpool and Manchester, York, like, you know, the northern parts of England are having these huge outbreaks. And a lot of it is attributed to, you know, kids going back to university and things being open and people not wearing masks. I think I just saw today, and I didn't read the whole alert on my phone, but it was something like Wales isn't even letting British people in right now if they're from a hotspot. So, I mean, that's really unheard of. I mean, that's like saying you couldn't cross over into Broward County from Palm Beach, you know, like, wow. So they're, yeah, and they, you know, they have these mandatory closings, pubs, restaurants, cafes, shops, everything closed at 10. So my poor friend Carrie, that I was friends with when I was working in the pub, she has a new job in a different pub, and she said it's really hard to do your last call at 9:30,
yeah,
you know, and then kick people out at 10. They don't want to leave at 10. They want to hang out, you know, they want, and that's what happens is like they end up leaving the pub, but they congregate outside. So they're gathering outside and they think if they're outside, they don't have to have a mask on, you know, and that's happening like all over. So I feel a second lockdown coming on. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're going to leave no choice, but you know, I am certainly happy that was just a recording and that wasn't happening again. You know, a lot of shows, because it happened, they wrapped right at the beginning of the game, didn't come back, or, you know, hopefully.
Exactly. It's hard enough for us because we, a lot of times, have to wait a year after, like for an American show.
Mm-hmm.
When your season finishes, your season has to finish on your network before one of our channels or networks makes a bid to buy it, to bring it back. So we watch all the Chicagos, like Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, all that. And it's so hard because sometimes you just had to, like, well, you know, your season ended, 6 months have gone by, we're starting to watch it. So it's bad enough that you see everything on social media, so you kind of know what's going to happen and who's coming and who's going. But then what happens is, like, when you had, like, a mid-season break for a sports event, you know, like, or something, like, you know how you have mid-season breaks, then we end up having that, and it just seems like it takes forever for us to catch. We will never be caught up. Like, it's we're always going to be, like, a year and a half behind on everything. I'm watching Days of Our Lives from 2 years ago.
Wow.
2 years ago. Like, I started following on social media, and I'm like, what do you mean Christian Alfonso is leaving? Like, how can Hope leave Days of Our Lives? She's been on since I was a teenager. My senior class project was a picture of her. So I was like, what? And like, she's got, like, this active storyline going on right now. And I'm like, how is she going to leave in the middle of this storyline? And then I realized that, like, it, especially here on our guide, it says when the episode first aired. And I realized it was like 2.5 years ago. I was like, oh my God. So yeah, it takes a long time for things to get over here. But fortunately, they make good programming over here. Like, there's a lot of shows that I like. And the best part about them over here is that a season is only 6 episodes or 8 episodes long. That's it. That's an entire season. Like, wow, you can watch it a whole season of something in a month. Like, it's so good. Like, it's
totally binge.
Yeah. So we have been doing the binge a little bit here and there during this era of COVID. But yeah. You know, I feel like sometimes, don't you feel like, oh my God, I feel like I finished Netflix. Like, I watched every hot thing that was on, you know, that was trending on Netflix, and now I'm like, oh my God, what's left? We watch everything from Instant Hotel to Schitt's Creek, which thankfully you guys are getting the last season of that now on Comedy Central, because what, you know, how do you go 5 seasons? That show is so fantastic, and then not have the last season to see where it wraps up. So you guys, I just read that after all those awards, they just, like, swept the whole comedy category in the Emmys, that Comedy Central bought season 6. So you don't watch it yet, but I highly recommend it.
I'm waiting for Grace and Frankie. I got through Ratched, but it was very dark.
I
when life gets scarier than any scary movie, that's what I get
that part of it, but it's just the gore of it all. Like,
it is. I don't really like to watch torture, and there's some torture in it, but I fast forward over it because I just look for the frame where it's over, and then I just pick it back up there.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm so sensitive. I couldn't even handle that scene in Misery where she bangs his ankle. Like, that was...
They really didn't show you that much back then. Like, when you watch shows now, it's like everything's so much worse. But yep. I think we should mention that, unfortunately, Lucy and Mandy couldn't be here today, but...
They'd be coming on right about now, too. They had a family incident emergency that they had to take care of, so... We wish them the best and hope that everything works out okay. And we will definitely have them on in the near future when all this is taken care of, because they're so much fun and they're so talented. And I really want you to meet Mandy, because I just adore her. I mean, you got a little taste of Lucy. Now just imagine that, like, times two. So Mandy is just quirky and fun and talented. And, you know, we want them to sing. We want them to sing on the show. So we will get them as soon as possible.
Really looking forward to that.
You said that someone dropped a couple questions, didn't you? Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can blow through some questions, right?
I don't have a clock in here, so I don't know what time it is.
Yeah, we got about, like, probably about 8 minutes, 6-8 minutes.
All right. So we have some questions. The first one was, what's your best hangover cure? Being the Whiskey Rock Lounge.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna tell you two things. One's gonna make you extremely jealous, and the other one's gonna make you laugh. The first thing is greasy McDonald's breakfast.
Totally.
Yep. Okay. Now here's the thing that's going to make you jealous. Delivered to my door.
Nice.
Delivered. And in fact, I didn't even have a hangover this morning and we had a greasy McDonald's breakfast delivered to the door. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
This is going to make you realize how desperate like some hangovers. Like now, when I had my condo in Florida, in Coral Springs, it was on off of Sample Road, right? So in a 1 mile radius, I had Wendy's that was literally almost outside my front door, right? Then mm-hmm. I had Burger King that was kind of about 50 feet away. And then I had a McDonald's that was a little further down at Coral Ridge. So when I had really bad hangovers, I would start at Burger King and I would get those little tiny tater tots.
Oh.
Right? That was it. Just through the drive. Two orders of tater tots and then continue on down Sample Road to McDonald's to get my, what were the pancake ones called?
Oh, the griddle?
The griddles. Right. So yes. Get the sausage and cheese McGriddle and then come back up and hit Wendy's for a Frosty.
Oh.
That was my loop and that was my hangover gorge fest. McGriddle, tots, and a Frosty, and I was fine.
I think that's a cure for anything, not just the hangover, but I love it.
It was worth the loop. It was worth the ride in my pajamas because it was all drive through. Mind you, in my slippers, pajamas.
Wait, was there a Steak and Shake in the fix anywhere? Did you have a Steak and Shake?
No, it was a little too far out of my range to go, you know, but I definitely indulge when I'm back there now because I don't have my condo anymore. I stay at my mom's and that's right there. Steak and Shake is right in their backyard. So yes.
Hey, that's our meeting place. Well, McDonald's is mine, hands down. The greasy, you need some grease, you need
some. Is that a proven thing? Is that proven?
I don't know, but I it might, you mean like scientifically, medically proven? I'm not sure,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people that are on that thing, and it's just, the worst part about it is that you, when you're so wasted the night before, you know, I don't know about you, but like, well, I used to leave like J's like down in the hood or whatever, you know, on a girls' night out and have a lot of drinks and go through the Taco Bell drive through. So then at 4 a.m,
oh,
eating
yeah.
a burrito and a gordita and all kinds of funky shit like that, and then waking up at 11:45 the next day or 10:45 the next day to get in that breakfast before it stops serving. Yeah, maybe it's just bad food on top of bad food.
Yeah, but somehow it was the cure.
It really works.
That, you know, that doesn't do it for you. My niece, Joni, and her friend, Mary, are both moms, and they do a blog called Martinis and Mom Life. MartinisandMomLife.com. I have to make sure I got it right.
MartinisandMomLife.com. I love it.
Yeah. It's a blog about being moms and, you know, needing a little libation once in a while. But they're really more about wine, I think. But she says that she gets this liquid. It's called this liquid IV. And
it's not a real IV. It's just a
drink. Liquid IV. It's a drink. And they sell it in Publix and grocery stores. And it's got electrolytes and it kind of balances, brings you back to everything, you know, that you
probably yeah, heard of those things. Like that's basically like they always say when you come in your house and you're drunk or whatever and you're like eating your frozen pizza thing or whatever, like make sure you have a couple of bottles of water and take two aspirins. But who can think when you're that out of it, you know? That's the thing, like when you got kids, you gotta be on your game. You can't just knock out the day because you got a hangover.
Yeah.
Set up and function. So yeah, they must know the real deal then.
They know the real deal. The other question was, what challenges, if any, do we face having doing the show in two different time zones and being so socially distanced across the pond?
I would have to say the first thing is the actual time, because I'm 5 hours ahead of you. So right. When we do the show, you're just buzzing in from work at like 5 o'clock, and it's like 10 o'clock my time by the time we finish and wrap everything up. It's a fairly late night, but that's cool. I'm used to that, because when we did the Lesbian Lounge, we didn't start till 8 or 9. So that was my 1 or 2 a.m. We would do a 2-hour show. The sun would be coming up and people would want to chat after the show. I didn't go to bed until 6, 7 in the morning. So my Thursdays were just shot. But it, so I am used to having like the time difference effect doing a show. The other thing is, we always said this was going to be really hard because of the delay. And using Zoom, not only do you have the delay, but you have the crackles and the pops and the, you know, the audio is not always fantastic, even though we're thriving with our Wi-Fi. It just doesn't matter. But, you know, we just excuse it and say, look, this is Zoom culture now. Like everybody's, if they can Zoom and WebEx and Cisco and do all these interviews on news shows and all that kind of stuff, we can handle the audio glitches that come with a Zoom show. So, you know, it's not ideal, but we make it work.
Yep. I think that it's a lot less of a challenge than I thought it would be, because I was not Zoom savvy. So I didn't really know like how, and then we had Lucy last week and I thought, well, how's it going to be with a third person? And it's been working great. I mean, I think other than the because I'm a late night person, so I'd rather be the later one, but we're working, we're making it, because I like that you are a late person, so I could text you here and it's like 7 o'clock and you're still awake, even though it's
I gotta watch like Out Front with Aaron Burnett a little bit, and then a little Anderson Cooper to fall asleep, a little CNN. Gemma's like, I don't know how you can watch anything about politics and just fall asleep. I'm like, I just do. I don't know why. And she's so good about like being in bed by like a certain time and getting up at a certain time. Like she's got to. I mean, she's going back to work on Monday after being furloughed all summer. So she's already starting to try and get herself into a routine where she's going up a little bit earlier so she can exercise and take her shower and go to bed and be out and, you know, get a decent night's sleep before I come in there and snore up a storm and wake her up. And so, you know, I mean, God bless, like she definitely stays to a strict regimen where I'm like, oh, whatever.
I admire people that can be in a routine. Thank God they can't fire me at my job where I work. I would have been fired a long time ago.
When I was in corporate America, like they gave me, they called it like the Thursday grace, because they know I did the show on Wednesday nights.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, so they allowed me a little bit of a grace to cruise in it like by 10 on Thursdays. But for the most part, I usually had to be in at 7, and I would get in about 7:45. So I wasn't good on structure back then either. So this is just a continuation of it.
Well, I wanted to mention also that we're going to be having some Whiskey Rock Lounge merch, as any good lounge should.
Can't wait.
We are working on the logo.
I like this. This is like in an HGTV program where you have to start making the decisions on design.
Tune in next week to find out what the actual logo is.
We all have like a piece of paper with it like sketched on it, close enough.
Right. And Joni's going to be doing some PR work for us. So we're going to
this I'm excited about, because that's always been an additional burden, you know, when you're trying to be creative and think about what topics and line up guests and, you know, set the Zoom thing up and do all that. The last thing you want to have to deal with is like the PR part of it. So God bless Joni, and please make sure you give her an inappropriate hug, but say it's from me.
I will, and she's going to want to hug you in person when she sees you. She loves the dynamic of the two of us. Like my cousin Vinny says, we blend.
It works well. We got good juju, good vibe, good juju. That's awesome. Joni is good at spotting that stuff too, I gotta say. So I trust that she knows what she's talking about. But I really do want you to thank her for me, because it's so important and it's so helpful. She has no idea what a big help it is. We need someone 10 years younger than us to keep this thing on track. So again, bless her soul.
I'm thinking about old Jack on some things.
You know, if they're 15, they know everything about TikTok and Insta and all that other stuff. So they're the ones that we should be having on the payroll.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's so true. But we'll get there. We'll figure it out. We're not ancient, for God's sakes. We'll adapt.
No, we're not.
Yeah, if anything, we're adapting to this newfangled computerized culture that we now live in. But I can't wait to actually be able to fly again and to get there, because that's one of the things, like, to answer that question too. One of the things is not being able to have a proper meeting, you know, having to do everything on WhatsApp and Zoom, you know, that's tough. You know, one of these days I just want to eat a burger, drink a shake, and have a business meeting. That'd be amazing.
Well, ever the dreamer that I am, I'm looking forward to the day that we can do like a trip. We can all go to a cabin. You know how they have those cabins?
Yeah.
Like our dream, our image of what the Whiskey Rock Lounge is.
Yes.
Like people do cruises, we could do a tour. I mean, not a tour, you know, a destination.
Yeah, like a weekend show at an actual cabin with actual people in the room. That would be fantastic. I can't even tell you.
Live show, yeah.
You know, we did a little research on cabin vacations at one point. Gemma wanted to get like all of our lesbian lounge people together and get like a big like 10 room cabin somewhere. And the whole point of it was because we wanted to submit some things to the Lesbian Archive Museum in Park Slope, New York.
Oh.
From stuff from the Lesbian Lounge, like to donate it to the history, whatever, library, museum, and just say, like, look, we were one of the first people to do a podcast in 2006 when nobody even knew what it was. And, you know, here's some of our paperwork, show formats, tracks, you know, put them on a little hard drive, like here's some tracks, like that kind of thing, and drop off some stuff there, and then make a big reunion weekend out of it, since it's way up there and we could go in upstate New York and find a cabin or something. So we still saved all those links.
You were trailblazers.
Yeah. Kind of ahead of our time, I like to say, ahead of our time, because now everybody's got a podcast, don't they? And you know what? We're different because we got options. If you want to watch it, you get to watch it. If you want to listen, you get to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But people know that on Sundays is the day that you're going to get the latest in the in video form and in podcast form. And they can follow us on Instagram at Whiskey Pod. They can check us out on Instagram. On Instagram, we are Whiskey Rock Lounge. On Facebook, we are The Whiskey Rock Lounge. And on Twitter, we are Whiskey_Pod. And we have an email address if you guys want to email in questions and ask us. We promise to be honest and open, 80-20. Don and I always said 80-20. Yeah, you can email us at thewhiskeyrocklounge@gmail.com, and we will get to those on the next show.
Yes, pretty good stuff, man.
Yeah. All right, one more cheers and a swig, and we're out.
Yes, all right. Here's to another week, another podcast.
Another week, another podcast down. Woo-hoo! All right, so long, folks.
Bye.